when it comes to transparency, Florida Governor Rick Scott hasn't always been crystal clear. So says president of the First Amendment Foundation, Barbara Peterson. She says some of that stems from the governor's long history working in the private sector.
And so we had a few bumps along the way there early in the administration. If you remember, we had problems getting access to the transition team emails and turned out that they had been deleted. The governor did a very good job of going back and trying to get those emails, the ones he could.
The Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigated the issue and found no wrongdoing. And Peterson says Scott asked the legislature to help protect against future mistakes by clarifying officers elect are subject to open government laws once the election results have been certified. And about a year into his term, the governor announced a plan to make his emails and the emails of his executive staff available to the public through an online portal called Project Sunburst.
As you know, since my first day in office, I've committed to making sure the citizens of our state have access to the information they need to hold their state government accountable.
Scott says the idea was to increase transparency by giving citizens unfettered access to the items most frequently sought through public records requests. But Peterson says after a while, Project Sunburst's clear window started to look more like a smokescreen.
Well, I can't ascribe motives. Right. I think there is some sleight of hand going on there with, for example, with Project Sunburst. I think the Tampa Bay Times reported the fact that the governor is actually using different email addresses and only the good supportive emails were going up on Project Sunburst. That's paying lip service.
Scott is now facing a lawsuit from Tallahassee attorney Stephen Andrews, who says Scott and his staff have been using personal email accounts to conduct state business. Andrews is involved in a court dispute with the state involving the property where Andrews' office is, which is adjacent to the governor's mansion.
Over the time period, it became, we believed, apparent to us that there were public records that were not being produced to us pursuant to our public records requests, which were text messages on state and personal cell phones that involve state business. And number two, emails from private email accounts that involve state business.
And Andrews' lawsuit isn't the only one Scott's facing. Democratic candidate for Attorney General George Sheldon asked a judge to declare the governor's blind trust unlawful and to force Scott to disclose all of his assets. Sheldon's move follows a Miami Herald report finding significant differences between the state financial form Scott filed as an elected officeholder and the tax information he submitted to the federal government. The report also raises questions about who is running Scott's blind trust and how blind the trust really is. Here's the First Amendment Foundation's Barbara Peterson.
The question that's before the courts right now is, does that blind trust equal full and public financial disclosure as required by the Sunshine Amendment in the Constitution? I don't think it does. The intent and the purpose of a blind trust is to avoid conflicts of interest.
And during a recent debate with his Democratic opponent, Charlie Crist, Scott maintained that's why he uses a blind trust.
The reason is so I don't have a conflict. Charlie Crist did a grand jury when he was governor and said that the right thing to do was do what Jeb Bush did and Alex Sink did. Now, Charlie didn't do it. Put your assets in a blind trust so you don't have a conflict. So I don't know what assets they have. The third party runs those assets, and that's what I've done.
Scott's campaign staff says the governor is in full compliance with both federal and state reporting requirements, which his staff points out are different. For WFSU News, I'm Regan McCarthy.